Well, thanks so much. As we come to the next in our series, look at these resolutions for a new year and looking at what the book of Proverbs has to teach us. I was saying to Charmaine just before we came out, as we were praying in the vestry beforehand, it's probably not possible to do justice to justice in around about 15 minutes or so, but we'll see how we can do. And it'd be great to have that passage open before you on page 637, particularly verses 27 to 30, where we're going to concentrate. There's so much we could say on this subject, but I hope these verses are going to help us as we look into it. And so as we do look into it, let me pray for us. Our gracious God, our God of justice, we pray that you would teach us what it means to be just and what it means for you to be just. Please teach us from your word and from your wisdom that we might walk in your ways to your praise and glory. Amen. Well, if you head into the city of London, you will find a lot of impressive buildings, one of which is the Central Criminal Court of England and Wales, otherwise known rather colloquially as the Old Bailey. The Old Bailey is, of course, the street that the court is on, and it is one of the most important courts in the land, and well known for the statue that's on the roof. I don't know if you've ever looked up and seen that wonderful bronze statue. Maybe you've managed to find one of the vantage points that allows you to look across the rooftops of the city, and there you might get a better look at it. Right at the top of the Old Bailey, cast in bronze, is the figure of Lady Justice. And she is there with the scales of justice in one hand, measuring up the deeds of people, and the sword of judgment on the other. So if you find yourself under the scales of judgment and it goes the wrong way, the sword of judgment will fall on you, is a message that is broadcast from the top of the Old Bailey. Well, I don't know if you've ever been inside the Old Bailey. I haven't, and you are a very reputable lot. So if you have been, it was probably on jury service and not because you were in the dock. But if you have been, apparently inside the Old Bailey, there is the Great Hall. And around the Great Hall, put into the walls themselves, are a number of quotations about justice, including quotations from the Bible. And one of those statements on the wall of that court is this one from the book of Proverbs, if you can just about read it, from Proverbs 13:14. It says there in the Old Bailey, the law of the wise is the fountain of life. The law of the wise is a fountain of life. And I think that's fascinating because, if you like, the figure of Lady Justice on top of the Old Bailey is communicating something about the justice that you will find inside the building. The scales of justice and the sword of judgment. But what the Old Bailey is communicating inside the building is that human justice is built or should be built on the justice of God. And that justice is revealed in the Word of God, and particularly in this book of Proverbs. So there's much that we could learn from the book of Proverbs about justice. And I'd encourage you, if you've not read through the book, to read through it regularly and to look with the lens of justice as you do so. But we're going to concentrate, as I said, on these few verses from chapter 3, verses 27 to 30. Because I think here in these verses from chapter 3, we see practical justice in action. If we've never entered into the Old Bailey, if we've never been, thankfully, in the dock there, or in the jury, or we're not a judge, then we might think that justice is far from our purview. But here in the book of Proverbs, we find practical justice for everyday life. Justice that is evident, hopefully, in the law courts, reflected in the way that the law of the land operates, but also in how the lives and actions of ordinary people operate too. And here are two lessons, I think, these verses in Proverbs and the book of Proverbs generally teach us. The first is this, that we are not to withhold good, but to give justice. Do not withhold good, but give justice. That's really in verses 27 and 28. So look down with me at verse 27 for the moment. Do not withhold good from those whom it is due when it is in your power to act. Like so much of the book of Proverbs, there is so much packed into that one sentence. So much that Frankly, it would be almost the preacher's job just to state it and then sit down. And you may be thinking that would be much more preferable. But I think it would be helpful, hopefully, to unpack it a little bit. And what we find here, and again reflected throughout the book, is that justice is really all about acting justly, acting rightly. And here is one practical aspect: not to withhold good from those whom good is due. And I think that's a very helpful corrective for us, because as we think about our lives as disciples of Jesus Christ, it is easy, certainly for me, to slip into thinking that that means as long as we aren't doing anything actively wrong, we're doing okay. Do you ever feel like that? You know, there's sort of a list in your mind of the things that we shouldn't do, maybe reflected in the sort of Ten Commandments. You know, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness. And as long as I'm not doing those things, then hopefully I'm doing okay. We focus perhaps a little too often on the things that we might deliberately do wrong, what the church sometimes calls sins of commission, the things that we actively do. But the Bible also calls us out on what the church calls sins of omission as well. That is, the times where we haven't done the things that we ought to have done. Those times when we have held back good when it is due. And that makes us pause, doesn't it? It certainly makes me pause as I've been preparing this, to think about those times where there has been good that I could do, and I haven't. You see, it's not enough for us just to put our hands up and say, I haven't done anything wrong. Sometimes we need to admit, I haven't done anything to a good deed as well. So here in Proverbs, we find that this means talking about giving justice in action. Because good here, do not withhold good, could mean material goods, it could mean money or resources, but it can equally mean a good action. A right response, a just deed. The book of Proverbs is very clear to us. When it is in our power to act, we cannot, we should not hold back the good, the justice, if you like, that is ours to give to others. And as we think about this, we should not be surprised. Because really, it just springs from the character of the God whom we serve. As with much in the book of Proverbs, the principles that we are to follow are really just a reflection of God's own character. Here is the God who did not withhold good, even from us who did not deserve it. It wasn't due to us, and yet he still acted for our good. He sent his only son to lavish goodness upon us. And in so doing, he didn't, in fact, abandon justice. But rather, we see God's justice most clearly, and we see the price that justice costs at the cross of Calvary. And since our God did not withhold good, but gave justice, so we should do the same. So, we come to this verse and we think, well, okay, but there's a lovely loophole here for me. I can see exactly what's going on here, but look, verse 27 says, do not withhold good from those whom it is due. In fact, some versions, some translations go even further and translate it as to those who deserve it. So that's fantastic. All I need to do is show good to those who I think deserve it. And to be honest, there's a very small amount of people who I think deserve it. That makes it so much easier to do good to those who I think are the ones who really need it. But the point here is actually that we are not the arbiters of those who deserve justice or not. We're the ones who shouldn't withhold justice and good to those who need it, but we're not the ones who decide who need it. That is in the hands of God. And he is the one who says, who are due goodness from the hands of his people? And to find out, we just need to open his word and to find out that he says those who are due good from the hands of his people are the poor, the downtrodden, the needy, and the vulnerable. They are the ones who are due, frankly, they are the ones who are overdue justice and mercy from our hands. And we are therefore the ones to show it to them. Now, one of the great things about the book of Proverbs is it's very realistic. So again, look at verse 27. Do not withhold good from those whom it is due when it is in your power to act. And that's a wonderful help, which tells us that we cannot, we should not carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. Maybe you know that kind of person. Maybe you are that kind of person who, when you see the next crisis on TV, it weighs so heavily on your shoulders that you really can't even get out of bed to do anything else. You're so taken on by every single problem that you come across, even if it's so far away and so out of your ability to do anything about, that you're almost paralyzed by it. I'm sure we know those kind of people who take the weight of the world on their shoulders. This verse is very realistic. We cannot solve all of the world's problems by ourselves. But there are plenty of things that are in our power to act on. Firstly, and most clearly, when we see an act of injustice happening, we are to take direct action if we can. Whether that's racist mockery in the workplace, financial giving to the poor, or campaigning for the vulnerable, we can act. We can show good and justice to those who need it. But along with action, we have a wonderful privilege in our culture and society to also be able to act in influence. So that could be in your own workplace. If there are unfair or unjust structures or practices, you may not be able to fix them yourself. You may not be the boss and therefore be able to sort all the structures in your workplace out. But you can speak to others. You can bring it to the attention of those who can act. You can persuade those in charge. You can shape the culture of your company in a positive way. And as we think about larger issues or global issues, we all have the opportunity to influence our leaders and our government to not withhold good to those who it is due. At the very least, that means that Christians should vote and influence our government in a positive way. It could mean that Christians should be or even more involved in politics, perhaps even being involved in parties, shaping their agenda, being part of what that means. It means we can write to our MP, ask questions of those in power, shape the agenda of our politics. We have influence in a way that people in many parts of the world do not have. And yet, how often do we actually use that influence? Well, just in case we're thinking, well, that's all very well and good, but there's problems that I have nothing to do with. The book of Proverbs always brings us back to concrete examples. So look with me at verse 28. Do not say to your neighbor, come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you, when you already have it with you. See, the book of Proverbs wants us to see that we're not to withhold good from those who are due it, and so particularly we're not to withhold material help for our neighbor and say to them, look, come back tomorrow, you can have it then. And we might think of a whole bunch of reasons why you might say that. Maybe it's simply out of greed. If I hold on to this money, it can stay another day in my bank account, accrue just a little bit more interest, I'll get a little bit more for it, and I'll make the most of that. But to be honest, I think mostly we would say those kind of words, even if we don't say them explicitly, simply out of ease. I could give it to you now, but it will be so much more convenient for me to do it tomorrow. So let's do it tomorrow, shall we? It's out of ease far too often. But again, the book of Proverbs just hits us over the head with it, doesn't it? Proverbs is clear. If you've got it, give it. If you've got it, give it. And actually, the original Jewish readers of Proverbs brought this very much into the workplace scenario. They saw it, therefore, as essential that a worker was paid their wages at the end of the day. An employer couldn't withhold the pay packet of someone who has done a day's work until a more convenient time for them. They saw this as an act of justice and an act of just payment for those who have worked. And so I think Proverbs deliberately asks us the same question. Do our workplaces share a similar fairness and justice? But we may get paid monthly, and we might be very happy to be paid monthly rather than weekly or even daily, but is there the same principle in play in business practices and hiring policies and bonus payments and wages given? And if not, what is in our power to do, to act or to influence, to shape justice in our workplace? So do not withhold good, but give justice. And Proverbs, as it often does, sort of says much the same thing in a slightly different way from a slightly different angle to really hammer the point home. So in the next two verses, it really says this: do not plot harm, but pursue justice. So let me read to you those two verses, 29 and 30. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse anyone for no reason when they have done you no harm. Here's another point of justice that is both global and personal. Do not plot harm against your neighbor. It's kind of a negative counterpart to that Old Testament command, love your neighbor as yourself. We are to love your neighbor, we're not to plot harm against your neighbor. And again, it's very easy for us to read these words and think, well, you know what, I'm not someone who plots that much harm. I don't do that very often, and particularly not against my neighbours. Let's just think now. Well, there's the Smith family across the road. Don't plot harm against them. And there's Mrs. Jones next door. I might plot harm against her dog who keeps fouling in my lawn, but I don't plot harm against her. And we can go through all the people living nearby and think, well, it's okay, I don't plot harm. But then, of course, we come up against the way that Jesus read these kind of words and interpreted them to his followers. Jesus took the idea of neighbor and broadened it out as widely as possible. And he answers an expert in the Bible who wants to, as we're told in Luke chapter 10, justify himself, just as we might be tempted to as we read these words. And he tells him the parable of the Good Samaritan, how all the very righteous people and the upright people walk by a person in need, and the person you'd least expect it from shows kindness, the Samaritan. And at the end of the story, he turns to this expert in the law and says, well, what do you think then? Who was the man's neighbor? And I can imagine the sort of sweat on the brow of the person as he realizes he can't say anything else other than the one who showed mercy on him. And Jesus says simply, go and do likewise. If you are to be my follower, if you are to inherit eternal life, which was the guy's original question, if you want to be with me, go and do likewise. Don't plot harm, pursue justice. And here in the book of Proverbs, it puts it this way: do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. And trustfully near you is the person who has put their trust in those around them. Which is really another way of saying the ones most in need. The ones who look to others for help. The ones who need to put their trust in those around them. They are the broken and the vulnerable. The poor, the homeless, the refugee, and the displaced. We live in a global situation where we need to live out this proverb very, very practically. Around the world, there are now over 65 million people who are displaced from their homes, usually because of war or persecution. That is, in the world population, one in every 113 people. I don't know how many people we are here today. I don't know if we've got to 113. But imagine if just one of us was displaced from our home. Would we act? There are 65 million around the world today. And again, the book of Proverbs brings it down very practically. If we think, well, there's a global problem, and okay, I can write to my MP, and I might be able to give to those who are working, but how does this affect me? After all, again, I don't plot harm. But look again at verse 30, because Proverbs helps us to see what this looks like in practice. Do not accuse anyone for no reason when they have done you no harm. Those are words that might bring about the image of a courtroom. And somebody bringing a false accusation to a person in the dock, speaking lies in the court. And certainly that's in view, but Proverbs hasn't really put us in the courtroom on its own. From the courtroom to the coffee shop, we are not to use our speech to accuse others for no reason. And frankly, in our day and age, when immigrants and refugees are blamed for so many things they frankly have not caused, we need this to take this to heart. We need to search our hearts to see where we have spoken wrongly of others. And we need to do what we can to shape our public discourse and our speech within the workplace to do the same, to pursue justice. Well, there is so much more that could be said, can be said, should be said, really, but our time is almost up. And this is a call to pursue and to deliver justice, which is a call for every Christian believer. It's a call to do so around the world and wherever we are, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, and in our workplaces. If you head down the road to the Old Bailey and you look at the statue of Lady Justice, many people think it is a statue that is representing blind justice. But actually, if you have the opportunity to look a bit closer, this angle doesn't really show it, there is no blindfold on the statue. Instead, apparently, according to the designer of the statue, it is her maidenly form that is supposed to guarantee her impartiality. Now, you can debate long and hard about how much maidenly form indicates an impartial and just attitude, but here's the thing. What Proverbs tells us, what the Bible tells us, is it is the form of a Christian that is to guarantee impartiality and justice. It is the shape which we are being built into that should guarantee that we pursue and love and want justice for all. Because we are those who follow the God of justice. Proverbs paints this picture of godly wisdom, of the wisdom that comes from the God of wisdom. And wisdom is depicted in these words in chapter 8, verse 20. I walk in the way of righteousness along the paths of justice. If that is the way that God's wisdom walks, it is the way we are to walk too. So let me pray. God of wisdom and God of justice, we thank you that you walk in the way of righteousness yourself along the path of justice, and that we see that most clearly at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, where there your justice is satisfied for those who don't deserve it, and your righteousness is given to us. So give us grace and give us strength, enable us and give us wisdom to walk in the paths of justice. Help us not to step away where we are able to act, where it is within our power, whether it's through action or influence, either on a global scale or a national scale or just on a personal scale. Give us eyes to see injustice in our own hearts and those around us. And may we work for justice to your praise and glory. Amen.